You're listening to the Sound Atlas.
Hey, I am Captain Dean, and welcome back to another episode. My guest is the bassist of the funkiest band this side of the galaxy that is here to save us from the lizard people of Top 40.
That's right,
I am
baby.
Talking about Comrade Contra.
That's right, baby. Yeah.
Welcome to the Sound Atlas, and welcome back to Earth.
I'm excited to be here just for this.
You've been here for a while. You guys got a new album out. You're on tour. But Comrade Contra, the bassist of Solar Disco Force.
That's right. Boots and all.
Yes, absolutely. You are the tall man in purple.
That's right.
Are you a man or an alien?
Alien
man.
My gender is classified.
Perfect. Well, there's one thing that isn't. You are truly a funky bass player.
Well, thank you.
On your beautiful Fender Jazz bass.
Absolutely.
That you slap pop the hell out of beautifully.
Oh.
Well, I can say right off the bat, on a local music note, being Bowling Green music scene, you guys are connected to the Bowling Green music scene. But you also do a lot of traveling. You've played places regionally around here. You go pretty far. You'll go as far north and south as you can. You guys do a lot of stuff. But on a Bowling Green music scene note, you're here.
Yeah.
You play a lot in Louisville.
Yes.
Nashville, occasionally.
Occasionally.
But Bowling Green,
we played
to
in,
say, is where you got your start.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. We played in Paducah once.
Just once?
Just once. Yeah, just once. Interesting opportunity there. Hey, we loved them and they loved us, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know much about Paducah's music scene, if there even is one.
A
lot of us around here seem to talk about Owensboro and Evansville, and you know what I mean?
Yep, I can dig it.
Paducah's far. It's like driving to Cincinnati.
Yeah, but it's not like we haven't been to farther places than Paducah.
That's true.
A lot.
But Bowling Green is where Solar Disco Force got their start.
That's right.
You guys have kind of become really involved in the Louisville music scene.
That's right.
And have built a really strong fan base up there, from what I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
But you still grace us with your presence, and we are very thankful for that.
Whenever we can.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're busy.
Yeah, we are busy.
You're fighting the lizard people, and you leave Earth every now and then.
Yeah.
But being that you are from this planet, please tell us, where are you from?
Where am I from? I like to tell people that I'm from Bowling Green. I went to, elementary school, preschool, in Bowling Green. My mother actually joined the Navy.
Okay.
So I moved around a lot from there. I lived in Hawaii for a while.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Lived in...
as a child?
I was like... It was like 8th and 9th grade.
Dude.
Lived in Hawaii. Yeah.
Wow. Boy, that must have sucked.
It has its, its plus and minuses. The weather was always great.
I would absolutely think so.
And I seriously miss surfing. Hands down. I think about it all the time.
Yeah.
I wish I'd go back out surfing.
I've never been there. But based on pictures and movies, I don't think the waves in California and Florida, obviously Florida is a ridiculous thing to say, but I think Hawaii and Australia are known for surfing. California is more of the... Hey man, check this out. But I think you have to be really far south.
I think you're right.
Like Baja, maybe. And that's where the good waves are. I am not a surfer, obviously. I am born and raised in Kentucky. I know nothing about it.
I lived in Florida for a while. And then I moved back to Tennessee for, a couple months. And then I moved to Ohio County. And that's where I graduated high school.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I know.
How the hell do you go from Hawaii to Florida to Ohio County?
Lots of connecting flights.
That's... I totally did not see that coming.
But I came back. I went to Western Kentucky University for a couple of years.
Okay.
So, and I live here, and I've lived here ever since.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And what year was that?
I graduated high school 2007.
Okay.
And then I dropped out in about 2009, 2010.
Okay.
Yeah. I was a music major. Who would have guessed that one?
Not me. I, too, am a high school dropout.
Hey.
We got that in common. And we're both bass players. I was going to be a rock star without the music major. Doing all right. In my mind, I'm a rock star.
I think you're a rock star.
I think I'm.
And I'm from space.
I'm okay. Yes. Your new home. You're from the Pleiades star system, right?
That's right.
But what came to you? Age? What age did music enter your life? And
oh,
you
man.
Started dabbling and listening to it? When did you start testing the waters of musical instruments? Tell us that story.
All right. We're gonna have to go back in time for this one. It's pretty far.
Hop in the machine and push the button and take us back to that magical time.
I was small, 3 or 4, and I cannot remember. It's terrible. I don't remember my family's name. And it was like great or great great aunt somebody's house. That my mother's side of the family, like the family, lives in central Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And Marion County. And,
yeah, I was going to say, central Kentucky would be like Hartford, Litchfield, and what is that town? Campbellsville?
Yeah, it's near Campbellsville.
Okay.
So it's this, you got to imagine it. It's like this 3-story house. It's got a wraparound porch, and it's got this old piano in it. And they're showing me stuff at like 3 or 4. So I'm picking up a little bit. I remember being in the car with my mom. Going to school one day. I was age 5. I'll never forget. And mom looked at me and said, when you get to high school, what instrument do you want to play in the band? Because my mother was like first chair trumpet in the band.
Okay.
And I was like, well, I want to play this thing. With like, and I'm doing the arm motion. I wanted to play trombone. And mom's like, why don't you play trumpet? They get all the cool parts. Okay. So mom bought me a trumpet at 5 years old. The only
five
thing I had to play was the chromatic scale.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a fingering chart for the chromatic scale.
Right.
And I didn't know, like, I just did the fingerings, and I made noise. So it wasn't like I was going up the scale or anything. But I was really good at that for a long time.
Right.
And then I remember going to TC Cherry, joining the band, joining music class. And this is when it really clicked. I was in music class, and Miss Orr had the staff on the board. And she started writing notes like, okay, this one is E. The one on the space above, it's F, and then you go G, and you go backwards, and then it clicked. I was like, oh, I get it. I can read it. I got it. It's
right.
The alphabet. 10-4. I dig it. So right. So then I joined band that year in 6th grade. We'll get to him in a minute. So I joined band in 6th grade. And I remember being ahead of the class and being bored most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was so good at the chromatic scale fingering chart, had all those skills saved up. And then my mom joined the Navy. I moved, and I went to Florida, and I was all of a sudden, like, I thought I was just the shit. And as it turns out, I was nothing.
Hmm.
Had to start all the way from the bottom again.
Wow.
And kind of move up. Moved to Hawaii. I was never really that good. I got braces put in.
That would affect things, I would assume.
Yep. then I moved to Ohio County, joined the band up here, started third part my sophomore year, and then all the seniors left, and I was first chair.
Okay.
And I thought I was pretty good. Braces and all. So,
interesting fun fact to know about you, Contra. You went to the same high school as Chick Falcon.
That's actually right. I did go to...
Boom!
Yep, I went to the same high school as Chick.
Take that, local music scene connection history trivia.
I just missed them. They graduated the year before I got there.
Right.
But we are both from Ohio County.
That's cool.
Yeah. We talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you not?
So... Junior year, first chair marching band. Senior year, first chair marching band. I had picked up guitar again. Okay, so another tidbit about me. I was grounded from TV, computer, and video games.
You
for
must
like
have
10
done
years.
Something really bad.
I didn't get straight A's. My mom was real strict. I know.
I see.
But
It's a B+.
I only did three things. Like when I lived in Hawaii and everything like that, I was either riding my bike, I was reading, or I was playing the guitar.
Gotcha.
And that's one of the things, like, it led to where I am now.
Okay.
I had like a whole like chords and lead parts for the Eagles and Jimmy Buffett, and I went from there. And I just practiced all the time. So first year, senior year, I decided to go to college for music. I wanted to be a band director.
Cool. Not a bad gig to have.
Just like in Florida and Hawaii, as soon as I got to college, bottom of the barrel. Had to start all over again. Worst trumpet player. And what's worse is I went to college and I was one of those kids that was like, hey, I have all this freedom. I'm going to do whatever I want.
Right.
Which is not what you're supposed to do in college.
No.
And I know that now.
I didn't even go to college and I know that.
So I went a couple of years. I learned what I wanted to learn. I learned 2 years of theory, 2 years of oral skills. I learned some music technology, sexy robo fantasy.
I dig it. Solar Disco Force in the background. And we're having an intergalactic
dance party
going on up here.
Mostly what I had left for my degree anyway was things like music history. I had to start my... you have to do like a semester of student teaching.
Okay.
And it was about this time I learned that I was... hard lessons learned about me. I'm introverted. Okay. And I don't like being around lots of people.
I get that.
And I finally made that connection that I don't want to be hanging out and in charge of 60 kids that have to listen to me. And
I could see that being an issue if you're an introvert.
So I switched majors.
Introverts aren't leaders. Like,
yeah.
not of a grand scale. I mean, maybe being in a band with a few people is one thing, but to run an operation.
Yeah.
And to not want to talk to anybody, that's not going to work.
So I changed majors to electrical engineering and didn't go to class, and I dropped out.
Ah.
So I decided that one of the things they won't teach in college, it's very strict and rigid. Like, I wanted to take, like, electric bass in college. Like, hey, I want to switch instruments. Hmm. And the director of music was like, we don't do that. You can do stand-up bass, but we don't do
that. Think he was lying?
No.
Was just in a bad mood that day and trying to
I'm
be
positive
funny?
They could have taught me if they wanted to, but it was something about, you ever hear of the Eastman School of Music?
No, I can't think I have.
Eastman is the guy who made the Kodak camera.
Okay.
And Kodak film, and,
man, they write songs about that shit.
Yeah, they do. Kodachrome. So, when he made all of his money, he started the Eastman School, and they have a big music program.
Where was this at?
I don't know. Connecticut?
Ah.
But Western follows what they're doing as far as teaching and stuff. So they don't teach electric bass. What are you going to do? So I dropped out, and I wanted to be in a band. And
based on that badass bass solo I just heard right here, right now, I think you did pretty good. So screw that teacher.
Let's see. So I dropped out and I started a band with my best friend in college who had also dropped out. I was playing the guitar.
Okay.
I was teaching him how to play the bass.
So leading up to all that.
Yeah.
You just tinkered and played and did your own thing. You were never in various bands leading up to this moment that you're talking about.
No.
You were just like a dude on his own.
Well, I was in this band in college. That didn't do anything but get a tattoo.
Okay.
It was called Goodbye Dawn. Actually, the lead singer for Solar Disco Force and the drummer for Solar Disco Force were in this band. We did one song that only I and Professor Eclipse did, which I'm not going to tell you what it is because you're not allowed to find it. It's that bad. And we all got this tattoo in different colors. And we still have it.
Okay. It looks like
it's a nautical
star. The star that you would see on things like the Texas license plate. I'm serious. My wife's from Texas, so I know that damn star anywhere.
10-4. So we were in a band that didn't do anything, and then
now was that your first band? Because that's what I was trying to get at, is like leading up to that story of being in college and forming a band. Was there anything leading up to that? Or did you just play at home on your own, play guitar for fun?
I mostly played at home on my own. There was one band I was in when I lived in Tennessee for the short time I did.
And what year was that?
Oh, God.
I know. I asked the tough questions here.
It would have been like 2003, 2004.
Very good.
I can't remember what the name of the band was. It was me. I think I was like 12 or 13.
Okay.
It was another kid that was 11 and his little brother, and he was 9.
Which... Never join a band with brothers. Because okay. You're always overruled.
We mostly just played cover songs. I don't think we did anything original.
Okay.
I played rhythm guitar.
But at least that was your actual start.
Actually, that was probably the first band I ever played bass in, too.
Okay.
There was just a bass hanging out, and they're like, play the bass. Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay.
Check this out.
Yeah. So I just played the roots.
Gotcha.
I loved it. I actually loved it.
But that was your actual intro into the world
of
being in a band, playing with other musicians.
Yes.
So fast forward to from that to college. You didn't really do anything of like having a name, making a record, playing gigs. Like it was just a hobby for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's something I really wanted to do, but
just
I hadn't gotten there yet.
Yeah. It was like a slow transition thing.
Yeah.
So go back to where you were.
Okay.
You were in college or just getting out of college?
Just got out of college. Moved into an apartment in Bowling Green.
And you formed this band.
Yeah, Sixes and Sevens.
Okay, that was my question.
Yeah, Sixes and Sevens.
The name was Sixes and Sevens.
That's right. It was me and my drummer now.
Okay.
This is the quintessential story of when I started playing bass.
Well, let's have it. Because you're a badass bass player. If no one has ever seen Solar Disco Force, not only are you an amazing bass player, the fact that you can do that shit in that the costume you wear, it's amazing. I could not stand on platform boots with a mask and play bass like that. So whether you admit it or not, that's fucking talent. And you are full talent, because I don't know a lot of people that can do that.
And I play like the piano and stuff too now. It's a whole thing.
Yes, you are. I saw you guys not that long ago. Actually, I've seen you twice in the last month or whatever, and we did a show together.
Yep, that's right.
In Nashville, and then I saw you guys recently at Tidballs, and you are now doing bass and keyboard. You are fucking Geddy Lee
in boots.
In a badass spacesuit. Unbelievable talent. But anyway, go back to that. That band is how that really was kind of the main fire starter for you, right?
Like, that's right.
You really found a comfort and pursued it.
That's right. The story, I started playing bass. I used to play guitar. I was teaching my drummer, who's my drummer now, how to play bass.
Mm-hmm.
And we could not find a drummer to save our lives.
Unbelievable.
I mean, we didn't really like scour the town that much, but we asked around, couldn't find a drummer. So he says, hey, I did indoor drumline for a couple of years.
Okay.
Winter drumline. If I can start picking up drums. And I said, okay, that's fine, because all we could find were guitar players. I'll pick up bass, because I've played it before, and, you know, it's top four strings of guitar. I should be able to wrap my head around it. It shouldn't be that bad. And so at that point, we couldn't find a guitar player to save our lives. All we found were more drummers.
That's insane. Like I get the drummer thing being hard to find, but guitar players, you just go to your local convenience store and buy a soda and a candy bar and ask them if they play guitar behind the counter. It's like it's the joke of Nashville. If you need a singer, you go out to eat.
Yep.
Or you order a pizza. Like, that's the joke of now. To me, Bowling Green is just full of guitar players. Full. So that's kind of an interesting thing to hear from somebody. But, I mean, I think it's just a moment in time kind of thing.
And, yeah.
You know, whatever. But anyway.
All we could find were drummers. We did have a couple of guitar players for a while, but they never stuck. But we did. All we found were drummers. And so we used to live on Shive Lane.
Okay.
In Willow Creek.
Yep.
And we wanted to, like, start playing in a house. So we rented a house on McElroy Street over by T.C. Cherry.
That's my started youth turf.
Really?
I went to T.C. Cherry.
Hey, me too.
Only in kindergarten.
Really?
Yep. I went to preschool somewhere on Nashville Road, and then I went to TC Cherry Kindergarten for the first half of the year, and then we moved to the county, and I went to county schools from there on out. So
I did the opposite. I started out in county schools, So we had two drummers in the band for a while. I played bass and organ for a while.
So you've always been super talented.
But we never did anything, and that's what really, like, that's what ended that band. I always wanted to go to, like, open mic and go try and play at Tid Balls, and I couldn't get everybody else to kind of do it.
So you, too, have been in that band.
Yeah.
Where you're like, hey, guys.
Let's go do something.
Let's go do some cool stuff, because it may sound lame, but I agree with you on this. I'm always like, if there's an open mic or some sort of plug and play or something that's just there and you're sitting at home, go play music.
Yep.
For God's sakes, it's not always about being in clubs and band practice. Like, just get it out of your comfort zone and go play.
Yep.
So I'm with you on that. I've been involved with a lot of musicians that also were like hesitant about doing things outside of their comfort zone or whatever, and it would usually ruin the band.
I have a philosophy about that a lot of people are like that, and therefore my odds are good if we can just go.
Just go.
On this note, I didn't own the Jazz yet. I still have it. It's a Schecter Diamond Series 4-string Extreme something bass. It's like a $400 bass. They're really good. I still got it at the house, and I was playing that. And one thing I wanted to learn was slap bass. And so I went to Musicians Pro and bought a DVD lesson set on how to play slap bass.
Who was the instructor?
Oh, I don't remember.
Because I watched a video that Flea made.
Oh,
and
yeah?
It wasn't very instructional. It was just basically, look, hey, I'm Flea.
Yeah.
Watch me play bass with, oh, look, there's Chad Smith. Let's just jam for an hour. So it wasn't like it was learning anything. It was basically just watching him jam around and be goofy.
No, it was like some guy. I mean, there was like sheet music
but
that came
a
with
well-taught
it.
A well-taught kind of thing. Okay.
I pluck with these two fingers. Like, for example, Flea only does one.
The pointer and the middle finger.
Yeah. Flea only uses the pointer finger.
They can't see you.
I know. Flea only uses the pointer finger. It was just a different person. Yeah,
that's true.
But I use two fingers, I guess. I call this... This is Thor's hammer and the Valkyries.
Your thumb and the two fingers.
Yeah.
So you, like, do all three fingers.
Yeah.
Kind of like... Well, it's not like bowling. But it's... It's bowling if you're a T-Rex.
That's right. The middle finger goes on the bottom string. The index finger goes on the D string.
Right.
And the thumb takes over the E and the
A.
Of
course.
Unless I have to move up or down.
Interesting.
There's a song on our first album where I'll play in drop D.
Right.
And then I'll play, I'll hit the top string on D, and then I'll play D on the A string.
Huh.
Get that nice low.
That is very cool.
So... I was learning how to play slap bass. The band wasn't going anywhere, and this is where the narrative about the lizards starts.
Give us the scoop on these top 40 lizards you are fighting. And have obviously been fighting for a long time.
Apparently.
All right, what year was all of this going on? Learning the slap bass, the band wasn't going anywhere. What year was
this? This is about 2010, 2011.
Great.
Okay. So, it was something... I was learning some really hard lessons in my life. Like, one lesson, for example, is the music industry, it's not about how well you play.
True.
It's about a lot of things. Like, for example, my current philosophy is how entertaining you are. It's about people wanting to see you on stage.
True. The best thing I've heard recently was from... Jason Simpson, who said the music industry is basically an industry of cool.
Yeah.
What's cool, and what do the kids want to hear, and that way that's what they market. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I dig that.
It's that philosophy.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly word for word what he said, but it was one of those, like, you sit back for a minute and your mind hurts because of it, like, oh, fuck, I totally get what you're saying. But no, I understand what you're saying.
So, and I'd been focusing probably for most of my life about how well I was playing, because I wanted to be a good musician.
Of course.
And get somewhere, and I'm starting to learn, like, that really hard truth, like, it doesn't matter how good you are necessarily.
It's more personal satisfaction, I think.
I think you're right.
Because to me, as a drummer, I don't twirl my sticks, I don't show off, I don't play drum solos. Like, maybe when I was younger I did stuff like that, but as I got older I was like, just play the song. And play it good.
Yeah.
I'm not Gene Krupa. I'm not, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, to me, that's showing off. And it's a talent. It does take talent to do that stuff. And I'm not going to knock anybody that does it, because some people can do it and be like, man, that's pretty badass to watch, you know? Some people do it and I think they look stupid. And I felt like I look stupid when I try to do that, you know? I think it's just in the moment, too, you know? Whatever.
So I started getting really down, and I actually gave up music for like 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I took a huge break.
Didn't play at all, even
no,
at home?
Really.
Wow. That's something I've never really done. I know a lot of people that have. Some don't pick it up. Some kind of pick it up, but it's never what it was. They never resume the place they were. So therefore, I've just never fully stopped. I'm scared.
No,
If I stop playing music, I will cease to exist.
I quit, slammed the brakes, and then I took a couple years off. I learned how to, like, not a lot of people know this. I'm an award-winning director. I made of course, it's really heavy-handed. Western used to have, like, a 48-hour film festival.
Oh,
I won
yeah.
once. I did win once. So I learned how to do that. I really like video production and cinematography.
Okay. Well, that's great. I'm fascinated with that stuff, but I have no, like, I don't have equipment. I made a video on my phone a few years ago, and I was so proud. I was like, look what I did. And, I mean, I understand how to approach it and how to do things, because I've been in other bands where we made music videos with an actual guy, a director, in your
yeah.
situation. And I understood the storyboard thing. You actually draw stick figures and say it's going to this. Like, you create a story out
yeah.
of it. And if you can draw stick people and scenes with a pencil and these little squares and make it look like a comic strip,
yeah,
then you film it. It's
yep.
like, it's just, you've got the blueprint of what you need to do. Now go get the shot. And your mind, you just, like, you know what you want it to look like, and you do the best you can to make that happen.
Yeah, but it took me, like, 4 years to learn that was the best way to do things.
Well, some things aren't always, like, right there in front of you.
So I took a break, and then...
Well, that's really cool. No, tell me about this. Like,
the break?
No, the movie. Like, how did you become... you took some sort of film class, or...
Okay, we can do this. So, 2008, back up. And back into high school. No, that's wrong. 2005, back up in high school.
Okay.
Just moved to Ohio County. My lead singer now, I knew him in high school.
Okay.
We met in marching band. And in 2007, our senior year, we both took broadcast journalism. Which, it's the school news, but... I don't know. You do, like... You only film one day out of the week. And so... He and I had, like... I really like the solo.
You had access to the audio visual stuff?
Oh, my. You know, I actually do. Although I can't show you because I wear a costume. we used to, in our spare time, we would make our own, like, Ohio County version of Jackass.
Oh.
We called it the Beast Chronicles because he named his car the Beast.
Gotcha.
Which is a very fitting name. It was like a... an 89
I was getting ready to, like,
Cutlass
mentally
Sierra.
I can picture.
he would spray paint it. He would spray paint stuff on it.
Fucking Cutlass is awesome.
Yeah.
Cutlass Supreme.
That's right. So and we would make videos all the time, and we loved it. We made a short film that wasn't very good. I actually composed the theme song for it. It's my introduction to Finale in high school. That I used to write. I use it now to write sheet music for the band.
Cool.
So yeah, I got into that, and then he and I went to college. We were roommates, and we were in the band with the tattoo, and we made
You guys have been together for a while.
Yeah, we actually have. And I met my drummer now in college, my freshman year.
Right.
I got a story about that too. But we would film things, and so I've always kind of had one foot in filming.
Right.
Because I like it.
So during that break from music, you were just like, you know what? I want to make something.
Yeah.
And visually create something.
That's right. I actually got into Adobe After Effects.
Okay.
I'm really good at special effects, like on the computer and
that's
things
cool.
like that. Yeah.
That's a really good, cool talent to have. Even the funny, corny stuff is actually pretty cool.
Oh my gosh. Our first video we did in, our first short film we did in high school, I used like Flash animation to do the special effects.
Cool.
And it was bad.
Yeah, but you know what, man? That's the part of it, though. Who starts out perfect?
You know what Nobody, I mean? Man.
Who comes out with the best equipment and the best ideas? Nobody. You got to start from scratch and learn. And it's cool to look back on and it's funny, but the goal is to graduate and create. It, to me, it's art. Like, that's how I look at it. Because I've seen some dumb shit. But you know it took somebody hours and hours to make that. And they were maybe frustrated and not happy with it, but in the end, they were proud. They did something. And I could usually look at that stuff and appreciate it. So, but I'm totally into that stuff. I just don't do it.
So, we're about to step on the gas, floor the gas pedal back into music. This is how it goes.
Okay.
I went to Musicians Pro one day, and I've always wanted a jazz bass. Because the guy who invented slap bass was Larry Graham.
He
played a jazz bass.
That's right.
And I've always wanted one. And I was in Musicians Pro one day, and on the wall, they had a 98 Fender Jazz made in Mexico, $350. I had just gotten a new job.
MIM.
That's right. That's right. $350. I just gotten a new job.
Not a bad deal.
It had Strat knobs on it, and I still have Strat knobs on it today.
Interesting.
So, I was making pretty good money. I was like, I'm going to put this on layaway. Here's this. I'll be back in 2 weeks to come get it. 2 weeks later, I picked it up. Started playing bass again. Not even a couple months after that, I had a buddy come up to me and say, hey, I just met these guys that rolled into town. They're looking for a bass player. Do you want me to tell them about you? I said, you know what? Sure, why not? Worst case scenario, it all goes in flames, but it's worth a shot.
Hmm.
And this is, I'm going to get flayed for not knowing what year it is. What year is it now? 2019?
It is 2019.
So I graduated college, dropped out of college 2009, did that for a couple of years. It must have been
at some point in a decade.
Yeah, it was probably about 2015. Yeah, it was about 2014 to 2015.
Okay.
Not
that long ago.
Two local people. I'm sure they're still in the music scene. I don't talk to them very much anymore. Nick and Melissa Larson. Yeah.
Don't tell me. Shit. I know this band.
Yeah.
I know who these people are, and they're in a band, and they played out for a... They played a lot.
Yep.
And I don't see their name anymore.
Not really.
I can't remember the name.
Seek.
I always wanted to say the Seek.
Seek. Yep.
Okay.
I was the main bass player for Seek.
I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to have a witty remark.
I kind of remember that because, I mean, I think I did see you guys once, and it was probably at the A-Frame or Tidballs.
Yeah. That sounds right.
But I think that is how I kind of found you. Now that I think about it, but I mean, you know, like I was just kind of in my own world back then, working on this whole solo thing I created, this beast that I built. But yeah, you were the bass player for Seek.
Yes.
And they'd moved here from what, New Mexico or something?
Roswell, New Mexico.
Fuck yeah, they're alien UFO crash site people.
Yeah.
they got here from the extraterrestrial highway.
Yeah, and so they were never, and I don't mean to say this to be like a blowhard jerk, but they were never anything less than impressed with anything I did on the bass.
Hmm.
And I love that. But
maybe it's that Southwest frame of mind.
Maybe. But they had a bunch of original songs that were mostly like acoustic driven.
Okay.
And they were mellow and dark.
Right, because he played acoustic guitar and she played the clarinet. And so, yeah, that was like a, not really a folk duo, but just more like what? Like an alternative avant-garde kind of
thing? That's exactly what I would call it. And I just kind of put a groove to it, whatever it needed.
Right.
And I love the bass lines I put down for Seek, and I miss them sometimes, but I played with them on and off for years.
So that was kind of your introduction back into being musically involved and...
This was my introduction into the scene, into the Bowling Green scene. Yeah, this was the first band that's like, "Hey, let's go out and play." And I said, "Hey,
they
great.
You all played a lot. Now it may have been just the two of them sometimes, but I just remember seeing that name on billboards and posters all the time. They played all the time.
We played with a lot of different people too.
Right.
Yeah, it was a hoot.
And how long did you last with that band?
Probably about 3 or 4 years.
It's not bad.
In and out. Nick and I'd get into a fight. I'd quit. Then I'd come back for a while. We'd have a good time. Then Nick and I would get into a fight. And then he'd kick me out of the band. And then, you know, we'd start talking again. And we'd start playing again. And that happened about 4 times.
Oh.
And
4th time's the charm?
The 4th time, I didn't quit. And he didn't kick me out. It just kind of fizzled.
Gotcha.
I'm just kind of busy. I had just, the 3rd time I quit, I had just started Solar Disco Force. And we got into a fight about it.
Yeah.
And I quit, or he fired me. He fired me that time.
Can't be in 2 bands.
Yeah, it was a little more than that. It was petty, the argument we had, but it's whatever. So I was in Solar Disco Force, and I started talking to them again. And I may have played a gig or two with them, but then I was just kind of busy, and I just kind of quit going to practice. But, I mean, Solar Disco Force eats up a lot of my time, so I'm not surprised.
I mean, you did what you felt was right.
Yeah.
And you did what you felt like that's where your heart belonged.
Oh, yeah.
And when you're in a situation, and I can relate to that, where it's a constant tug of war, it's a constant thing of just, like, bickering, and, you know, like, if it's meant to be, it should work. But if you're constantly fighting and breaking up and getting back together, that... And I was in a band like that. I honestly can relate to you on that, because there was a band I was in that probably broke up and got back together like 10 times within a decade. And, you know, it was never as good as the first year and a half of before the first breakup, you know?
Yeah.
So, I get it. It's like you were proud of what you did, and you believed in it. And so you wanted to not give up, because it makes you feel like a quitter on yourself, you know? And I think that's probably, in a nutshell, what you're saying. So I can relate to that.
There were a couple other bands, too, in Bowling Green that I was in.
Well, who? This is about the Bowling Green music scene. Who else were you with? So you were with Seek for about 3-4 years. Who else did you jam with?
I can't remember. Okay.
Well, that's not good.
No, it's not that. I was in a band for about a month, maybe two, with Kyle Upton.
Okay.
Well
known more as a drummer.
Yeah.
But he's also pretty versatile. He plays guitar, and I've seen him play guitar and bass, but not as much as drums.
He was going through some stuff,
mm-hmm.
and he wanted to make a band, but a lot of people would assume and did assume that if he made a band that he'd play drums and that if he needed me, I would play the bass.
Right.
Well, he wanted to play guitar. And he wanted me to play the organ.
The organ?
Yeah.
Were you an organ player?
Yeah. But I'm still an organ player.
Did you want to be an organ player?
I would have rather been the bass player.
Are you an organ donor?
You know, I actually am. I gave Seek my old organ.
There you go.
I am an organ donor. I played organ. We never really had a solid bass player or
but
a solid
drummer. But obviously,
you
wanted to play bass.
Yeah.
I'm sure you made that clear, right?
Yeah, a couple times. Like, you know, I could just play bass. We don't have a bass player. No, I need you on organ. He wanted... It was described to me as metal, metal, metal. And
I remember he went through a Hawkwind phase.
Yeah.
It's about the last time I even talked to him.
This was post-Hawkwind phase.
He was going through a pretty... intense Hawkwind phase.
Yeah, I remember that.
But I didn't know if he was playing drums or not. We have crossed paths over the years, but...
He used to work in the music store.
I never went there.
Oh.
I met him years and years ago through a mutual friend.
Okay.
But I don't really know the guy. We crossed paths and...
He's currently, like, in school to be a priest.
Really?
Yes. I know.
Moment of silence. I'm going to ponder on that. That's interesting. Does he not play music anymore?
I don't guess so. I don't talk to him very much anymore. We're Facebook friends.
Okay.
So, while I was in his band, he threw a party. And I'm pretty sure he threw this party. It was a jam party. A whole bunch of bands came.
I've heard about this. I was fucking invited to that party. I know exactly what you're talking about.
You could have seen me play the organ.
I know exactly what you're talking about because out of the clear blue sky, he messaged me one day and said, I'm having a party. Come over and jam.
Yeah.
I got all these musicians coming over. I'm going to set up all the gear. Come over and jam. And I was like, I don't really know you. I don't, you know, that's not, I'm not a party guy. Now, I mean, you should have messaged me when I was 22. I would have been there. But, I know that's funny because I was invited to that party, but I did not go because I didn't belong. But anyway, what happened?
So, while I was at that, the party's important because our band did play, I guess. It was okay. Kyle was drunk for most of this month I was in the band.
Interesting.
But while I was there, there was a band that had a really good drummer and a really good guitar player. But they didn't have a bass player.
Hmm.
And I felt bad because the guitar player played another band that had a bass player. And while they were playing, they were really good. I liked what they were doing. It was really funky and really... It was almost smart.
What was this band?
It was called Fondadu. See, I knew it was coming.
Yep.
So,
yep.
I went to the other bass player. I was like, aren't you his bass player? He's like, well, not for this band. So, I pointed at somebody. Help me pull my bass amp in here. So, I pulled my bass amp in, and I just started playing with him. And he would just kind of tell me the chords, and I would just play the chord he needed.
Right.
Because it needed bass, and I was drunk. So,
damn it.
And so, a couple days after that, the drummer, his name's Dylan, messaged me on Facebook and said, hey, man. You ought to, like, be in our band.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I'm already in two. But, you know, I can come jam. So I did. And they live out... okay. But anyway, it doesn't matter where they lived.
yeah, we're not going to give away people's secrets.
We did a lot of... I was in Fondadu for at least 6 months, if not a year.
Okay.
I
very much remember that, too.
It was a band, and I don't want to sound ugly, it was a band that couldn't find its sound. It had too many people driving the bus.
Right, right. I get that.
And I was just kind of wherever they needed to be, and that was great. A lot of people came, and a lot of people left. And after a while, Solar Disco Force, and Seek, and Fondadu. And I was like...
You were literally juggling those three bands.
Yep.
And I know Seek was extremely active during a good chunk of time.
This was when they started waning.
Right, but yeah. I mean, you were in the band when they were really hopping. And I mean, locally speaking, they played a lot in Bowling Green.
Yeah.
I don't know if you all ever traveled out of town.
No.
Or whatever, but
It just seemed like their name was on a, they got on a lot of bills.
Yeah.
And with various bands and various shows. And it just, I saw it a lot. So obviously you were busy with that. Solar Disco Force had gotten started.
Just started.
But
there
you
were a
also
couple...
hooked up with these guys, but it just kind of...
Fonda Do opened for Solar Disco Force a couple times.
That's
right,
awesome.
When we got started. It's
Did the bass players meet each other backstage?
Yeah. Wearing a purple undershirt for that one. That was a good couple nights where you get in the boots and dance around, get all sweaty, and then get changed and jump back on stage and play another set so you go to work the next morning. Woo, buddy. And then Fondue kind of fizzled.
Okay.
I still think they do stuff, but...
I always thought that was a cool name.
It is a cool name. They had the tie-dye butterfly, too, as a
logo.
Yeah. I thought that was cool. But it was kind of... It was a mix with, like, Southern Rock and maybe some jazz fusion for a while. It was interesting.
That is very interesting.
Yeah. It was all about who wrote that song.
How do you do that?
It's all about who wrote that song.
I guess so.
This person wrote that song. It's going to sound like this. This person wrote this song. It sounds
very,
like this.
Very odd.
So, then we start getting into Solar Disco Force.
Right.
So, okay.
So, but, did you eventually come to the conclusion that... This band, you were having fun, you really liked the music you all were working on, and developing the aura of what it is. Is that a good way to put it?
Nope.
Okay.
I disagree. Here's how this plays out.
I get for guessing.
That's how most bands started out. That's how a lot of bands
Just curious because, you know, you were in three bands. One fizzled out, one slowly fizzled out or had issues and stuff. But yet you had started this band, and you're still in this band.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming at some point that switch was flipped.
This is the band and the music that I wanted to make.
Right.
And this, I haven't been able to really do that in a band before now. I've usually just been like
it scares
playing
you,
the bass.
Doesn't it?
It does. It still scares me.
Yeah.
So for a long time, especially during the couple years and a couple years after, like during Seek, mm-hmm. something Lizards, I didn't think good music was really being made in the mainstream anymore.
I understand.
So my drummer for Solar Disco Force sent me a message. We play video games all the time. He sent me a message like, hey, you need to check out this band. It's called Tupperware Remix Party. I heard about them on the internet. And I'm like, oh, I'll get to it.
Did you say Tupperware?
Remix Party. Yeah. So,
I don't know why that word's always been so corny sounding to me.
So
Tupperware.
Yeah.
I think I like the word Tupperware because... When I was a kid growing up, the Southern ladies would sell that shit, like Avon, and they called it Tupperware.
Tupperware.
I think that's why I still laugh when I hear that word. Would you like to buy some Tupperware? I need a bowl. Make some Jello and then seal it. Eat it later.
I don't know what they did.
That's a great name, though.
Yeah.
That's a great
name. Tupperware Remix Party. There you go. Have some of that.
Gotcha.
So, I did check them out, finally. I woke up. It was 5
in
the morning.
It almost looks like a strange kiddie TV show type band, you know?
Yeah.
It has that look to it. Like, they look like Lego figures, but with, like, one is a lion, one looks like Iron Man. One looks like a member of Devo. I mean, it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But it looks like a strange children's TV show from England or something.
But I really... Like, it was 5 in the morning.
Okay.
I have to be at work at like 6. And,
he sent you that message at like 5 in the morning.
No. He sent me... I put it off.
Okay.
I blew him off for like a month. I'll get around to it. So at 5 in the morning, I woke up. I was like, hey, I need to check out that band.
Okay.
And so I did. I found their page on Bandcamp. I listened to 3 songs, and I bought their whole discography. It was like four or five CDs at that point.
Okay.
Digitally. And I was like, oh my gosh, I got to have as much of this as I can possibly get. It's funky, and it's electric with synthesizers, you know, straight out of the 80s. And I love this band, but they're from Canada.
Ah.
And I was like, man, they're never going to make it. I mean, they go to Chicago sometimes, but they'll never make it this far south. But they opened for another band that got really famous on YouTube called Ninja Sex Party.
Oh.
Wow. They opened
They're so famous, even I've heard of them.
See? They opened they opened for and back Ninja Sex Party live.
Okay.
And so they're like, hey, we're going on a national tour. We'll be in Nashville.
Sweet.
I bought tickets immediately. I had to go see them. Yeah. They played at Marathon Music Works. And I was like that girl in the audience jumping up and down and screaming the lyrics. I've never done that before. The whole 10 yards. Like, oh my gosh. And so during the show, they're like, hey, we're going to be playing at Exit Inn next Sunday. My drummer and I dropped everything we were doing to go to the merch table and buy those tickets because I had to go.
Right.
And then my lead singer now was already there. He wanted to see Ninja Sex Party. And I invited my friend. He was Sentinel Zome, the saxophone player.
Oh, yeah.
To go with us.
The green guy.
I knew him from TC Cherry Elementary. He was in my band class.
Very cool.
Yeah. So I know everybody. And we all went. And while we were driving down there, we were like, what if we made a band like this? We all dressed up. We all played electric funk music like this. It's feasible.
Fun music.
Yeah.
I mean, music I really want to make. Right.
So we decided we would try. And it was like June in a hot garage. My drummer, Group Machine, bought a set of electric drums. He still has them. He practices with them to this day. They're the worst electric drums. The snare drum pad gave out. So now whenever he hits it, it just hits rim shots. So he moved the snare drum pad
to
the low tom, and now it's just cowbell.
You about killed me with that one. That's good. So say, just get one of those metal like pie pans, you know, and just set it on top.
So Zome had to play tenor sax, and this is going to come up here in a second.
Okay.
And we got a talk box and a Yamaha DX100. For yes, Professor Eclipse.
Yes, you did.
I still got that thing. And I played the bass. And we went from there. We picked up some cover songs, and we wrote our first song, Pelvic Thrust.
Yes.
Yep.
On the first album.
The first album, Pelvic Thrust.
Yes. Save the Music, Save the World.
That's right.
Save and when did this come out?
It came out June 29th. What year is this? 2018.
That's right. Your albums are only a year apart.
Yep.
But anyway, you get started, you get together, you test the waters.
Yeah.
What happened?
So, I write all the music for the band.
Okay.
Like, I don't write all the songs.
Right.
Eclipse writes about half to three quarters of the lyrics, but I write everybody's part.
Gotcha.
And I do it all in finale and sheet music so I can see everything. And well, Groove Machine writes his own drum parts because I don't want to. Because he's better than I am.
He's a damn groove machine.
Yeah, I know. He doesn't
just
need
push the button.
So I'm writing out everybody's parts, and we go over them, and we learn them, and we invest in spandex. We've now got spandex, and we start making helmets, just all sorts of stuff.
It's phenomenal.
I pulled the trigger on the boots, the original boots, the ones I wear today, cost me $250 on Amazon. And I have a new pair at the house that I need to start using. I had to fix them. $70. Oh, I got price gouged. I was so mad. Oh. I'm still mad about it.
Life is about lessons.
So, lesson number 36, Solar Disco Force. Tenor sax is not a very good saxophone to pair with a baritone singer.
Ah.
And you can't put them on top of each other. Because one thing I learned the hard way making my own songs is that something frequency spectrum, and if you have a bunch of instruments in the same equalizer frequency, you can't hear any of them. It just sounds like a big muddied mess.
Yeah.
And Tenor Sax and Professor Eclipse are right there together.
Hmm.
So the first album was a lot of Professor Eclipse does this and then
right
Sentinel Zone.
It's
answers.
Almost like a call and response. Right.
Yes, that's the best I could do.
It's still good.
Yeah, thank you.
I loved it when I first saw you guys. It was by accident. Like, I didn't know who you were. I just heard the name.
Yeah,
I didn't know it was you. And I think it was at the A-frame.
That sounds right.
And I don't know who I was there to see, but you all were on the bill.
Grapplehound?
Yes.
Yep.
That's right.
Yep.
Okay. So I walk in. You guys come out, which, you know, the great thing about the A-frame is you do have that back room that you can change and come out of the curtain. It's not like you walking through the front door, you know. Like a real venue. And you guys come on stage in your costumes and immediately start playing the first 5 seconds of the song. And I'm just like, who the fuck is this? You know, like, I didn't know if you were a touring band, if you were from Chicago, and you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I had no idea. I was blown away. And the next day, I'm on, like, Facebook, y'all need to see this band. Because like, I like that stuff. I'm a big fan of the merger of, like, comedy and stuff, like, cool things, but I get it. I totally get it. Because, you know, I wear, like I told you earlier, I was like, I can put on a captain hat and sunglasses and be like, I'm Captain D now. You can talk to me about anything you want. Like, it's that. So I love that. I absolutely loved it. You guys were amazing. But how long did it take to go from the formation to the stage?
Okay, so we got on the stage, and I think in about 3 months.
That is fast.
Our first gig was an open mic gig at Tidballs on September 11th, 2017.
Interesting.
It was, that night was run by, what's her name? Local musician, goes to open mic like every week. She plays the mandolin. Her name is like...
The gray-haired lady?
I don't know.
She have gray hair?
Yeah. It's like something bird or something like that. Lone I know, bird or...
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. lone well, bird, we don't know.
She didn't see that one coming.
I don't know the nickname, but I know her real name. I'm friends with her on Facebook, but I can't remember it. Anyway, I know who you're talking about.
She didn't see that one coming.
Probably not.
You know, four people all in different colored spandex. You know, she didn't see that one coming.
And that was your debut.
Yeah.
Walked up there and played, like, what, three songs?
Yeah.
Okay.
It would have been, like, Feel Good Inc., Pelvic Thrust, and something else. I don't remember what we played. It was a long time ago.
That's cool.
Oh, my gosh. I've still got the demos in my car. That's good. We made Solar Disco Force demos. Okay. So, here in a second, I'm going to have... Don't let me forget. I have to tell you the 14-mile journey... And the walking trip in Nashville. It's a great story. So,
and my legs are still hurting.
And my legs still hurt from that.
Can't walk 14 miles in those boots.
Let's see. So that was the first time we played. About 3 months, we had three songs ready to go.
That's
and we
cool.
were trying to, because see, lessons learned the hard way. When I was in Seek, we played one open mic show. Everybody loved us. John said, hey, you should play shows here. So I was like, here we go. We're going to give John a CD, and we're going to play open mic,
right?
And he's going to give us shows. Not really. You know, we were still missing notes, you know, whatever. I had to kick John for a while before I got a Thursday show with Fond Adieu, the other band I was in at the time. And that would have been about October. We had a couple more songs. I mean, we had to have had more songs. We played a whole, like, hour.
Hmm.
So, yeah, that was a thing on a Thursday. And it's always been slow going with Solar Disco Force. But
that's okay, though, because you can't rush art. But yet, 3 months, you went from testing it to the stage.
Yep.
With the look and everything, so.
And the thing about that is, like, Solar Disco Force has backing tracks live.
Yes, you do.
Because as much as I would love to have like a free guitar player and horn section, they're just hard to come by. So,
those damn guitar players, though.
Not only in 3 months did we have all of our stuff ready to play live, we had all this backing track stuff set up.
That's cool.
Ready to go. It was a whole thing. The technology of Solar Disco Force is interesting.
Well, you know, you go somewhere to get it. You just don't tell us where you're going.
Yeah, that's right. Somewhere in space.
It's out of this world.
That's right. It is out of this world. Okay, so the 14-mile walk in Nashville. We wanted to play shows in Nashville. And, of course, we're naive, and we don't know, like, how to book shows. I know how to get a hold of John Tidball, and that's about it.
Right. Yeah, Nashville's a different beast.
So, yeah. So we decide we're going to make a demo. We go in the garage. I record everything on a... I have like a Tascam field recorder.
Right.
Two mics input, and it's got two mics sitting on top of it.
Right.
We recorded everything, and I mixed it down and burnt it onto a CD. I've still got demos in the car. I try not to tell too many people that. So I said it on an interview.
Nothing wrong with it.
And we looked on Nashville like, okay, I told Professor Eclipse, we need venues. Find me a list of venues. He said, okay. So he got me a list. And I looked on Google Maps, and they're all kind of in a line. I'm like, right. Oh, we could probably walk that. It's not a big deal. Hey, Zome, do you want to make a trip with me to Nashville? We can walk to all these venues. It'll be fun.
Wait a minute. What part of town are you talking about?
So here we go. Here's where we start.
I can't wait to hear where you just parked and got started.
So we parked at 3rd and Lindsley.
Okay.
And
yeah, that's...
We started 3rd and Lindsley, and all the answers we got, either they weren't there,
right,
or, hey, send us an email.
Right.
And that was a lesson learned the hard way. But
absolutely,
we had a stack of 10 demos.
Exactly.
We walked 3rd and Lindsley.
What you all were attempting to do was what was done in, like, 1989.
Yeah, that's all I knew.
Yeah.
Just all these stories about making demos.
Right.
Knock
on every door.
I read a book about Red Hot Chili Peppers, and that's what Anthony Kiedis did. They made a demo.
Yeah,
so,
in 1982.
Yeah. So we walk from 3rd and Lindsley. We go to the Mercy Lounge. It's about, I guess it's about 5 blocks.
That's a hall.
Yep. We go there, and there's no one there. So we decide, don't worry about it. We cross the interstate, and I know there's more venues than this, but we cross the interstate.
Well, some have come and gone, even in the past few years, but yeah.
We're at, like, mile 4.
Okay.
And we're going to the Cobra.
Oh, yeah.
And,
dude, that's off.
Mile 4, Zome is like, this was a bad idea. Yeah. I'm like, no, it's fun. We're getting good exercise. We're out getting sunlight. And we're passing out demos, all that we can pass out. So we're doing great. We go to the Cobra. We stop and have a beer. We talk to the bartender. Hey, we're a band. We're looking to play. Right. Well, okay, well, you need to email this email address. Classic. He didn't take a demo.
That's the way it is.
So, we get done. We are a little buzzed. We walk up, and there's this other venue up the street from the Cobra. I can't even remember what it's called. But we slid. There were like barking dogs, and we slid a demo under the door because they were closed. And we hiked back. You remember mile 4?
Mm-hmm.
When we came back, it was mile 10. I looked at Zome, and I said, you're right. This was a terrible idea, and it's my fault, and I'm sorry. We made it back to the bridge over the interstate. That was mile 12. We sat down. We had been there all day. All day walking. We sat down for a minute, and we got up, walked the extra 2 miles to the car, and drove back. We were exhausted.
I can imagine.
14 miles, handing out demos that no one took.
And that's only a small piece of the town.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't even go on the actual, like, club circuit down, like, Broadway 2nd, 4th, 8th. Like, you were in the turf, but you didn't hit them all. But you definitely, like, Cobra, you know, you got there.
Yeah.
3rd and Lindsley, that's an animal right there.
It is.
Like, they're good. I remember it when it was a tiny, like, 3rd and Lindsley used to be like Tidball's.
Yeah.
When I used to go there, when it opened, it was like Tidball's. It literally had a small, tiny-ass corner stage that looked like it was in a strip mall with restaurants, you know?
Yeah.
Now, it's a full-blown venue, and they knocked out half of that building and own half of it now. But when I first started going there, it was just a small little bar that was jam-packed and had really talented musicians. So it earned a good reputation as a small venue, and then it got bigger. And now bands like the Melvins play there. I mean, it's weird. You would have never seen that back in the day. I mean, they literally had a corner stage.
Me and Groove, oh my gosh, ask what year this is. It must have been 2010, 2011. We went to see the Wooten family reunion.
Yeah.
It was like in December. And
yeah, because they always do that there.
I brought my guitar to get signed, and he brought his bass to get signed. I still have that guitar with Reggie and Victor, mm-hmm. and his bass has Reggie, Victor, and Future Man on it.
That's cool.
Yeah. It'd be a lot cooler if I hadn't tried to like make pickups for that guitar, and now they don't work right, and I need to buy pickups for it, and it's on the list, and you know I play bass. And... Story of my life. I'm a tinkerer.
You're a lesson learner.
I have rewired that jazz bass like 5 or 6 times now.
Hey, you know what? Look at my desk over here. I relate to you on that.
Yeah.
I've got 2 sets of pickups laying here on my desk.
The inside of that jazz is all shielding tape, just like that.
That was cool. Yeah. I just did that to all my P basses are now lined on the inside.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it does that damn thing or not.
It does.
But the guy on YouTube said, do this, and I fell for it.
It does stuff.
I got
it just
suckered
doesn't
into
like.
It.
It doesn't really improve anything. It just makes it not suck as bad.
Right. It's, like, it's something to do with sound, and I'm a drummer, and I'm just doing what YouTube videos tell me to do.
It makes the sound come out clear.
When you guys got started, though, obviously, like you said, the band starts 3 months later. You're doing open mic. You had everything in place. It took off fairly quick. Because that should not have been very long between the beginning and when I saw you. Because it was a new band at that point.
Yeah.
Because I'd never heard of it. And I think that may have been one of your earlier shows, right?
Yeah.
If we're talking about a few years ago, like 2016.
It was 2017.
2017?
Yeah. Okay. By the time you saw me, it would have been like winter 2017.
Okay.
I couldn't get any more shows, really, at Tidballs. And so I got a hold of the A-Frame, and they were interested. And they had used us a couple times for like, hey, we got this band that's coming out of town. Do you want to open for them? Yeah, okay, sure. We met a couple bands like that. Nothing really that lasting. But we opened for a couple bands, and then we wanted to have our own show. We're like, hey, we want to do our own.
Of course.
Who do you want to get to open for you? So I know Justin. Of Grapple Hound. I actually know Quentin Ferris, too.
Excellent we were drummer.
Oh, my gosh.
Drummer extraordinaire.
Yes. I love Quentin. Justin, Quentin, and I were in Seek.
That's right.
Yes.
Quentin was in that band for a short time.
Yeah.
I remember he told me that.
Yes. As a matter of fact, Grapple Hound was created when we got tired of Nick and Melissa... And all three left after a show and just made our own band. And then I had a couple of practices with them, and then that wasn't invited anymore. I wasn't their kind of bass player. And that's fine. But yeah,
hey,
that's how Grapple Hound made it.
Fate ran its course.
Yeah, Fate ran its course. Very short.
You are right where you need to be.
Yeah, I agree.
We both know this.
Yeah, you're
right. I'm holding both of your CDs in my hand right now. I am a big fan of you guys. Not only have I seen you several times, I just recently got to open for you guys at the Exit Inn.
Oh, yeah.
And on behalf of the entire El Astronauta band, thank you, thank you, thank you. That was an absolute dream come true. And I know it was for you because you played there once.
Yep.
And you were shocked that you got to play there. And so you got to go back for your most recent... You guys just released the album, Intergalactic Dance Party.
Yeah.
Not that long ago from As We Are Speaking. And that was your CD release party at the Exit Inn in Nashville, that legendary venue. But that was your second time to perform there, correct?
That's right.
Okay. So, again, talk about how the band got rolling, things got cooking, you start playing some gigs locally... Branching out a little bit. I know you got really good connections up in Louisville.
Yeah.
So when did Save the Music, Save the World come out and, you know, took off?
Save the Music, Save the World, the CD came out June 29th, 2018.
That's right. You already mentioned that earlier.
So...
My bad. Every episode I ask the same question twice at least. It's like the Finding Waldo moment. I think people... have made a drinking game out of my podcast.
I'd play that. Okay, so...
But leading up to the record coming out, you guys had been a band for how long?
The rest of the band will tell you that we had been a band. We'd been a band for about a year.
Okay.
When the first album came out. I always say that the band, like, how old the band is based on when September 11th hits, because that was our first gig.
Right, okay.
They'll tell you it's when we went to that Torp show. And I think they're wrong, but they don't ask my opinion about it.
But that is a cool connection that the four of you were in the car on the way to see this band that inspired you to form this band. So what a neat thing.
That, and the other thing is, up until this point, since I'd come back into the music scene,
right,
I'd always played in bands with musicians.
Right.
And
that's a good thing.
No.
I was always in these bands with comedians. And I never could figure out why.
It was a laugh riot, though. No, like, I believe one of my core values, I guess, is you can take any number of musicians from any backgrounds and put them in a room. They will make music. It may not be very conventional, yeah, but either, they can do it.
It either clicks or it doesn't.
Yeah. But it's always been with musicians, and it was always trying to, like, find our sound, and our sound was always kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to make a band with my friends that we could all have the same focus.
Right.
And have the same, what sound we were driving for. Okay. That's what this band is.
And it started out as a four-piece.
Yeah.
It turned quick, like, for a brief minute.
It was a five-piece.
You were a five-piece. Yep. But now you are a trio.
Yeah.
The core members of this band, yes, are the same guys you have mentioned several times, that you've known them for a long time.
Yep.
You're right where you need to be.
That's right.
I agree. I'm not going to dive into the questions of why so-and-so left. I mean, it's...
I can tell you the lore questions.
It is what it is, you know.
Like, I can answer it with the lore. Those are always pretty good.
Okay.
Goran the Destroyer woke up one day. This is actual lore. We have it written down. Woke up one day. Yeah, no.
Canon.
Yeah, it's canon. He woke up one day and the sun, like, got in his eyes and he got mad and he wanted to go destroy the sun. And he took the escape pod and flew to the sun, and the destroyer became destroyed.
Yeah, I like it.
Zome turned out to be a lizard.
Oh.
Prince Lizard, as a matter of fact.
Mm.
Lizard Prince. And he took, like, a DNA sample from me and Professor Eclipse.
There are the reptilians.
Yeah.
And they are disguised very well.
Yeah. So there are lore reasons why they don't exist anymore. But anyway, yes, core members are right where we need to be.
Right. But you guys made one record.
Yeah.
Save the Music, Save the World was your first album, 2018.
Yeah.
You, a year later, release Intergalactic Dance Party, which we've been listening to a lot since this started. I just put in Save the Music, Save the World.
Yeah.
Not that everybody can hear the background music normally, but it's there.
It's there. It's good mood.
It's great. I love it. Like, here's the thing. When I was, like, 3 years old, my brother or mother or somebody had the Saturday Night Fever record, the soundtrack, the whole Bee Gees thing. 3 years old. I was like, I don't know what this is, but I love it. It felt good. It was cool. It sounded fun to dance to. You're a kid. But it was disco. And it was the Bee Gees. And it was like, it was awesome, you know? I like this style of music. I don't play this style of music. I don't dive into it as a musician. I've played it as a drummer, but more as a pickup kind of thing. Like bands that do funky music and stuff like that. But as a fan of music, I love it. I absolutely love it. And that's why I was going back to when I first saw you guys. I was just like, holy shit, this is great. I love it. So, band gets started. You make one record. A year later, you've made another. Look at what you've done in such a short amount of time. And it's music that you wanted to play and you wanted to be involved with. You're doing it. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I seriously mean that, because and I've told you this many times that I've run into you. I'm like, I love it. You should be proud of what you've got and what you've built. And so obviously anybody listening to this can look up Solar Disco Force. all of your music's available online, correct?
Yeah.
You've got hard copies of your albums available for purchase. And I know Mellow Matt's music locally carries it.
Yeah.
I'm assuming every time you go to a show, you're going to have a merch table. You've got all your stuff. You
we'll guys sign them, too.
I've always had cool t-shirts, which I have one of your first t-shirts.
Well, yeah, you made
because
it.
I think I made it. but you guys have cool merch, not because of my involvement, but you've made other stuff other places. You've got the records. You've got t-shirts. What else do you got?
We the have basics. Magnets.
Magnets?
Yeah.
That's different.
We have magnets.
I like it. No stickers, anything like that?
We used to have stickers. We don't have any right now.
But the name Solar Disco Force is very original. Google it. It's you guys. There is not other bands that even copycat or
nope.
sound familiar or anything like that. So, again, I'm as a fan, as a friend, I'm proud of what you guys have done. I can safely say that I have seen you live at least 8 to 10 times.
Oh my God.
At least, honestly. There are shows I've come to see you, but I didn't talk to you.
Okay.
I'm there, hanging out, I'm watching, and I take off. I don't bother you guys, you know? So I'm there. I'm a fan. I'm a huge supporter. Fanboy right up.
I don't think you could bother me, though. You can come up and talk to me.
Probably not, but you know, I just some nights you just let the band be and, you know, do your thing. I'm here. Like, you'll see a picture on... I'll always post pictures on Facebook. Like, I'm at Tidballs. I'm taking out this band. Because I like to represent the fact that I'm hosting this. Is, you know, I like people to know. And I do support you guys, whether I'm there or not, you know?
Well, that's really appreciated. You have no idea.
I can't drive to Louisville to see you all the time, but I would gladly do it. You guys play in Louisville a lot.
Yeah, we do.
And I know that you got your start here, and you do play a lot at Tidballs. I know you've played the A-Frame. But what is it about Louisville that welcomed you into that music scene? Is it just the diversity of it, the club circuit of it?
Probably. It's more just the venues,
yeah.
I'd say. We have two regular shows in Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
One of them's at Third Street Dive.
I was going to say Third Street Dive seems to be not sponsored by Pabst Blue Ribbon, by the way. I know you get that joke because I literally just saw that about 2 hours ago.
Yeah. So they have live music every weekend, and they're one of the venues. Like, if we want to play in a new city, I'll get a list of venues and I'll blast them all the same message. And Third Street was one of those venues that was like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, I looked at your thing. Y'all are like space dance music.
Right.
We got to have that. And I'm like, great. We would love
to play never there. Played there, but I'm hoping to with this new band. But I was supposed to play there with my old band, and the show like
I will
got
throw
canceled.
You a gig.
You think you got it?
Oh, yeah.
Some,
and then the new venue we have in Louisville.
Space Dust.
Yeah. The new venue we have is the Limbo Lounge.
Oh.
It's like a tiki bar up there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
I've heard of it.
Yeah.
I don't live there. Like, I don't go up there very much. But I do have a lot of respect for the Louisville music scene. I've got a lot of friends in the punk realm of that. You know, they're tapped into those clubs and that circuit of people, bands and stuff. But I think Louisville has always had a really good music scene. And you guys are kind of been welcomed into it. Like, you call Louisville home now. Am I safe to say that?
Yeah.
And there's really nothing wrong with it. Because to me, Kentucky as a state, if you looked at it as a statewide thing, every city, major city, seems to have something. A few, you know, good clubs. But it seems like good bands are literally in every town. But they have to go somewhere. You know, like the band No Deceit, Campbellsville. But they have great luck playing in Bowling Green and Glasgow and, you know, Louisville, whatever. But they're from Campbellsville. So it's just one of those things, you know. But our state is extraordinarily diverse in music. But our town here, our beloved Bowling Green, is a great music scene.
It is.
And
I
it
agree.
Has always welcomed bands from Nashville and Louisville. We can't deny that. So, it doesn't matter what you call home. The fact that you were born in Bowling Green says it all. And I have no idea where I'm going with this. Positive, positive hearts, thumbs up.
Love.
But anyway, you call Louisville kind of home. You guys drive as far north as Detroit.
Yep.
You just recently got back from New Orleans.
Yep.
What other kind of like regional shows? I mean, would you call them Weekend Warrior type touring?
Yeah.
Or is that what you do? You don't go out for 2 weeks.
No, not okay. yet. We're thinking about doing it
next
year.
You're hoping to get to that point.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking about doing that next year. We need to sit down and talk about it.
Yeah.
Band
meeting.
Atlanta. We've been out to Atlanta. They have a great synthwave scene.
I would think
it's
so.
It's killer. We've been to Cincinnati. Where else? I always forget where we've been.
Well, it's easy to look at if you do a circle radius around Bowling Green alone, or even Louisville. There's so many places you can go that aren't far.
Yeah.
But they're really important music scenes to get into. And if you can get tapped into those and get hooked up with other bands from them, you're doing it. You know? That's the successful thing of it, you know, is the connections and the fact that you get to go back. That's when you know you've done something right. But you guys are really good about traveling and making the rounds and making fans. Obviously, you're making fans.
Yeah.
Good for you. I think Solar Disco Force has a bright future ahead of it.
Hey, I
so
appreciate
don't,
that.
Don't join three bands. You're fine. On one note, though, since it's not the whole band's not here, we were really hoping that was going to happen, but unfortunately it didn't. But since it's just you, I want to ask you something. When I first saw you, and a lot of people were just in awe of your stage outfit, the Solar Disco Force name flashes across this. What is that? Like a belt buckle?
Okay.
Like type? What would you call that?
That's what it's supposed to be. I had to make that from scratch.
Okay, I understand that. That's the point of this question. Is this? When I first saw you, the name of the band flashes across a screen.
Yeah,
and it was on your chest.
Yeah.
Now it is more of a belt.
Yeah.
So why did it go from the chest to the belt?
I've
been wanting to ask you this for a long time.
So, if you look at the chest,
mm-hmm.
this whole thing is one piece.
Like a shoulder pad type thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
It had to do with how well I could play the bass.
I figured that would be it.
So, it had to do with... Whenever I play the bass, usually, I don't play it straight out in front of me. It's
right.
usually cocked to an angle.
Yes.
I have my hand kind of down
I've
here.
I've noticed that.
I can't do that with that chest piece.
Okay.
I still have it. It's at the house. I can't spin it the way I want to. So this arm's all the way out here, and
right.
it kills my wrist. And like, I don't wear the bass over it because it covers the screen. So I had to wear the bass under it.
Yeah,
it was a whole thing. So
and
I said,
figured that was going to be the answer, but I just didn't know if there was maybe some sort of reason outside of it being bass playing oriented. But I've assumed it had something
hot.
To do with it. Yeah,
and it was hot.
The fact that an electronic flashing sign is on, it's got to get a little warm.
So, I have helmets that are, like, different series of helmets.
Okay.
Like, there was the Mach 1, the Mach... And I always make improvements.
Of course.
For a very short period of time, I had a motorcycle helmet. It had vents. I thought maybe it would bring in air. It didn't.
No.
That, it was supposed to bring in air, so my visor wouldn't, like...
Fog up. Exactly.
No. Nope. It did. It was bad. So
I honestly look at what you do no different than Gene Simmons. That's how I look
at it. I
get
that a lot.
Because of the boots.
Yeah.
You wear platform boots. So you're very tall. And you're playing bass. And you've got all this, you know, the shoulder pads, the helmet. To me, it's the same kind of thing. So I walk on stage in a t-shirt and shorts.
I've been there.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I know that. But, like, that's what I'm used to. And when I see you play, or the idea of dressing up like Gene Simmons, like, I don't know if I could do it. So, again, my hat's off to you for this, that absolute aspect of, you know, the talent of that, you know, like, being able to wear that and play, especially slapping and complicated dance music, but it's complicated. It's, you know, and now you're playing keyboards. I'm jealous. But I don't know if I could, you know, like, physically do that. So, but I figured, again, the sign moving on your costume had something to do with bass playing.
It did.
It looks so good on the chest.
I know.
I know that kills you. And you know that that's true.
But the vest is custom made.
I know. I know you guys do all your own stuff. You have to. Because you have to physically be able to play.
I went out for the vest. Mm. I had a friend of the band. Like, they do like custom costume design work for theaters.
Okay.
And they made me the vest.
That's cool.
So it's very cool.
But I like the idea that you guys do, like, upgrades. And you're not just going to look the same forever. I mean, you know. That's a cool thing to do, though.
Professor Eclipse changed his look a lot.
Yeah?
A lot more than I did.
That's true. I can tell that just in the photographs.
The zebra vest and the glasses that did the thing. And now he has... Right. He had a helmet for a while that would light up, and now he just has his own new helmet and his shoulder pads.
Hmm.
And the lab coat.
So what is the blue thing in the middle of his shoulder pads?
It's a light...
It is a light.
It's a light.
So depending on the stage lighting is whether or not it actually works. Okay.
That's right. It depends on whether you can see it or not.
Listen, man, I can say it over and over again, but I truly am a fan. I made that abundantly clear to you the first day I saw the band, and then I talked to you afterwards. And it's not a secret that when I see you, I don't always know it's you. I really mean that. And it's almost like I blush because I look at you on stage like you're a full-blown celebrity. You're a star. And then I see you off stage like now, and I'm like, I just don't make mentally that connection. Like, you're the same person.
Not even the hair.
Is that strange? Is that odd to you to know, or do you feel like... Victory, like, yes, I've done
it. That is what I'm shooting for.
You've done it. I mean, in silly way that I put it, that's how I feel about it. I am proud of what you guys have done. I really hope that the future's bright for you. And I'm glad to say that you're from here.
Me too.
Even though you call Louisville home. That's cool. But you know, a lot of people here call Nashville home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's nothing out of the ordinary.
We always tell people we're from here.
Well, of course you do.
Yeah.
And, you know, but Louisville has embraced you guys. You have a lot of opportunities up there that you may not get here. And I get that. So it makes sense to me. But Solar Disco Forest is from Bowling Green, Kentucky, damn it. And we own that. And the world needs to know that. Before we wrap this up, what is in store for Solar Disco Force? Because before we started rolling, you did tell me you were already planning on recording a third album.
Yep, it's coming.
And that would be in the year 2020?
Yes.
Okay.
Probably the beginning.
And just literally a few minutes ago, you talked about the idea that you would like to do more than just Weekend Warrior stuff.
Yep.
You think you're going to put out a new record and attempt things of some touring? And
yeah, we're thinking about... We've talked about it. We're thinking about doing two little, like, Weekend Warrior tours mm-hmm. and one big, like, week-long tour in the summer.
Okay.
We don't know where we're going yet. We try to hit the
cities. You use a dartboard.
Yeah.
You put a map of the U.S. on a dartboard, and you throw darts. That's what a good manager does.
Real efficient on gas.
It is. You don't need gas.
No.
You have a ship.
The ship takes gas. The ship in the trailer.
It's like the Spaceballs Winnebago. Is that what you guys travel in?
Kind of.
Well, you totally should. That if that was your tour bus,
That'd be great.
Good Lord, that'd be brilliant. But obviously, things are coming.
Oh, yeah.
You guys have no plans to stop.
Nope.
Obviously, like I said earlier, you've gone through a few band member changes and stuff, but the vision's still there. The band is still a band, and as a trio, you're doing great. On the second album, you're a trio, and the past two shows that I've seen was the trio band. I think it's great. You do a version of Mr. Roboto.
Yeah, we do.
2 days after that last time I saw you, I woke up at like 5 a.m. to get ready for work, and I'm singing Mr. Roboto. So I guess when you do that to someone, I guess that's congratulations
good
of
victory.
Some sort, because yeah, you did it. I couldn't get that song out of my head. But you guys do a few covers. That's one of them. But for the majority, you are an original band.
Yep.
And obviously, anyone out there listening to this, where can they find Solar Disco Force?
Everywhere.
Because it's worldwide.
We're everywhere. Anywhere you listen to music, Spotify, Pandora, we're there. We have our own Bandcamp, solardiscoforce.bandcamp.com.
So basically just Googling the name.
You'll find us.
You'll find us.
We're on YouTube, everywhere.
Of course.
Yeah.
You do have a Facebook page.
Oh, yeah.
You have an Instagram.
Yep.
Anything else?
Twitter. We have a Twitter.
Okay.
And
you tweet out to the universe.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Damn the universe.
We have a Twitch that we don't stream very much on.
Okay.
We sometimes, maybe once or twice a year, we will do a like an internet show.
Okay.
Where we go...
Like some sort of Christmas special?
Kind of. We generally do it around certain events.
That's cool.
But we'll set up the camera and we'll run the sound through the computer. And we'll just do a show like if you were at Tidballs.
That's cool.
Just online.
That's great.
Yeah. Because there's we have a lot of fans in a lot of places that we
can't you do.
Quite make it to.
I've noticed that about you guys. You really do have a fan base out there. Good job.
We wish we could go out and see them.
You know what? It's there. And if the collective unit agrees to do something, you find a way to do it. You guys are a really good, you're a hardworking band. I will give you that.
Yeah, we are that.
The three of you are obviously the core that has made it from the beginning to this point. And if whatever you want to do, you'll find a way to do it, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Good. So, before we wrap this up, I want to ask you something on a personal note.
Yep.
Bowling Green music scene, you've been here for a while. You've been involved in it for a while. Who are some of your favorite bands and artists to go out and see these days? And who are you looking forward to seeing what the future has in store?
I love the Daddy Sisters. We love playing with the Daddy Sisters. I like going to watch the Daddy Sisters.
You guys have done several shows together.
Yeah. I mean, I've just been to a Daddy Sisters show just to be going to a show. I just like to watch them play. The Rift is a good band in town. We were friends with Jack Holiday and the Westerners. I liked it, but they're from Louisville.
That's true. I did a show with them
a
year ago. Yeah, cool. At Tidballs, and I was just blown away. But I saw them recently.
Yep.
Because they were here.
They played with us.
Yeah, they were with you. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
We're friends with them now.
It's like when you go to a show where there's three really good bands, you always kind of forget what other bands are there, but you just remember seeing three really good bands. Yeah, they're a great band. Who else out there?
The Wet Eyed Liars. I like them a lot.
I do too. I like everybody.
I think
maybe.
I'm running dry. I think you got me.
Tapped out.
Oh, I'm sorry. And there's also you.
Yeah, but I don't count because I'm sitting here.
El Astronauta.
The best thing that you guys did, honestly speaking, on a personal note for me, to invite us to open for you at the Exit Den was a true honor. But the fact that you put on your CD release party at that venue, it was Solar Disco Force, Alien Space Debris, The Cosmic Collective and El Astronauta. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And it's a shame it wasn't like a Friday or a Saturday night because, yeah, you know, that odds are better that you might sell more tickets and have a bigger audience. But it was a successful show.
It was.
And I really applauded you guys for the fact that it was a space-themed show because I love that stuff. I'm all about it. That is why I'm in a band with that name, and obviously you guys are into it too, and thank you. I really appreciate that. That meant the world to all three of us. I mean, we really were in awe. Like, I'll never forget it because you offered it to me, and I was like, oh my God, that's awesome. I texted the other two guys. I was like, you guys want to play the exit in? They're like, what? Really? Yep. And you made it happen.
Yeah.
Solar Disco Force played the exit in twice.
Yep.
So congratulations to you on that. And really, honestly, congratulations on getting this band going, making a dream come true, and sticking with it. You have really done something that a lot of people either procrastinate and don't do, or they do it and other people mess it up and it falls apart. Three of you are still rolling.
Yep.
So congratulations. Thanks, and congratulations, man, on this new record.
It's really good.
It's great.
It's great.
Oh, by the way, we got to mention this. It was done at the Nightmare House.
That's right.
By Jared McKinney.
That's right.
And it is available now everywhere.
Yep.
Along with your first album. So Solar Disco Force, Save the Music, Save the World, first album. Intergalactic Dance Party, the second album. Available now as we are speaking. It literally just came out about a month ago.
Yep.
So get it and dance.
That's right.
And have a party. And order a pizza and demand the Jurassic Park VHS.
We actually have a copy of that.
I would think you would, because they get very angry and they really demand. Go see this band live. You will not be disappointed. Take it from me, Captain Dean. I know what I'm talking about. Is that a great way to end it or what?
Yeah.
Comrade Contra, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
And I'll see you later.
Absolutely. On this side of the galaxy.
On this side of the galaxy. But go have fun in the other side. But come back and see us sometime.
I can do that.
Thank you very much.